of an
interest.
Okay. Philippians, as we talked about the last time, we're going to be looking at chapter 2 today.
Someone's not.
Let's see, who would that be? No, everybody's muted.
Okay.
Maybe Jeff.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Denny showed up there. Maybe he's not muted.
Oh, he's muted now.
Okay.
Okay. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to continue with that. As we saw in last time we talked about it in chapter 1, we were able to see how many of the records that talked about Philippians in Acts showed just how much of a personal knowledge and fellowship that Paul had with the Philippians. Remember the call of the Macedonian when he was in Asia Minor, and they were planning out their itinerary. They were wanting to go one place and in one direction. And then he saw a vision of a Macedonian that God showed him to go into Macedonia. And that's where Philippi is. And that's where he also was able to witness to the woman who was the seller of purple, remember, along the riverside. And then he was thrown in jail, and the jailer and his family was one to the Lord Jesus Christ. So by the time the Philippians was written, there was such a work there that not only was the home fellowship going, but there were many home fellowships and bishops of home fellowships. So it really grew and prospered, and many people were getting blessed. So as he writes to the Philippians, he was not quite sure what his itinerary was going to be to get him back to there. But it was certainly in hope that he was going to be able to visit with these people that were so dearly beloved by him. Timothy was on that first trip into Philippi. And, of course, everybody knew Timothy. So when he talked about Timothy, they were all well aware of him and his great service to Paul and how much he was able to do for them. For the believers. So let's pick up in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. And there's a section in here that we're going to be looking at that I'm going to be using the working translation that is Reverend Cummins and his crew put together as a book, one of several books. But I think it'll give us some further insight in some of these translations. And it starts out in verse 1 as a rhetorical question, because it's stating the obvious as setting up the standard of which the rest of the chapter is going to be banking off of. You know, it's referring to things that in the question format. You know, if this is true, which we all know that it is, then the following. So let's look at this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Now, when it breaks it into that saying, what if there be, if any, it wants us to take a look at each one of those items specifically and individually. If any comfort of love, does love give comfort?
Yes.
Yes, it does. Love definitely gives comfort. It gives comfort to us when we are in trouble, when we are disquieted, when we see the things of this world that are not the way they should be, but sometimes the way they are in actuality. We have great comfort in the love that God has shed abroad in our hearts and the love that we have for each other. If any fellowship of the Spirit, and this fellowship means the sharing. if there's any sharing of the Spirit, and the Spirit would be the gift of Holy Spirit, when we share one with another, we are recognizing and acknowledging the Spirit that lives in each one of us. When we have that acknowledging and that realization in our hearts that we each one share a full measure of the Spirit, we are understanding that each and every individual member contributes to the body. That not one member is any more important in God's eyes than any other, no matter what their job title is. You know, we each have specific things that we're called to in the body of Christ. And it doesn't always stay that way. It isn't like I'm always going to be serving cookies in fellowship. You know, I may be doing that one day, and I may be doing something else the next time we get together. But the point is that God is the one that places each one of us in the body as it pleases him. But besides that, each and every one of us are created as sons and daughters equally by God. He doesn't have favorites. And there's a great comfort in that, because sometimes we want to, in our sense of what we've experienced in the world, putting people in categories. You know, we have just experienced an election to put somebody in a spot as the head of the administration of our government, which gives them a lot of power and authority. But with all of that, we have different levels between that top level and where I sit, for instance. You know, you got governors, you have administrators within the government. You have all these other people, heads of corporations or billionaires who are controlling a large part of the economy. All these things we have to, in the world's way of thinking, is that there is these levels of how prosperous people are or how much power they have, and that we get down to finally me. Who is maybe created differently. But that's not the truth. That's not the truth. That is just a worldly way of looking at things. We have been given something entirely different. Our standard of life is entirely different than what the world says. We, each and every one of us, have the full measure of the body, of the Holy Spirit. So that fellowship of the Spirit, we share in that. Isn't that great?
Yes.
If any bowels and mercy, the bowels was indicative of passion within us. If any passion and mercy, in other words, we are motivated. We are motivated to help each other because of that Spirit. And why, if all those things are true, Paul says, fulfill ye my joy. And what is his joy? That ye be like-minded. Now, that is also contrary to what the world wants us to do. You know, there's a great emphasis in the world about being our own person and walking to our own beat. You know, I walk to the beat of a different drummer. That is considered a quality in life. And certainly we want to be independent of what the world is trying to make us, and we want to think soberly and not just do things because everybody else is doing them. But the truth is that God wants us to be like-minded, to have the same kind of thoughts. Now, are these means that you have my thoughts? No. It means each one of us puts on the thoughts of Jesus Christ. Because if each one of us is looking and preparing our mind to think like Jesus Christ, we're all going to be thinking similar. That's how we become like-minded. Not by conforming to any one particular church's doctrine or being following another leader's pattern or his leadership style or any of those other things. It is we are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ because we are putting on the mind of Christ. That's how we become like-minded. And it says, having the same love. Having the same love. Now, it's really easy to love people who are like us, who like the same things we do, or maybe they think of politics in the same way that we do, or any number of other things that would tend to make us alike. But that's not the love of God. The love of God is so far surpassing that. It is the same love regardless of whether somebody is cool or thinks like me or anything else. I like to hang out with this person. No. The love of God is the example. And he has that same love for each and every one of us. So therefore, that's the example that we have through Jesus Christ and what his life showed of how we're to love each other. Jesus Christ did not show any more love toward one than another. Being of one accord, of one mind. Now that's pretty cool. One accord of one mind. So we are bending our thoughts. When I say bending our thoughts, I mean we are bringing our thoughts into line with how God wants us to think. And then it shows the next verse of what it isn't, kind of. What it is and what it isn't. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Now, strife, in the working translation says, there were some who were preaching Christ out of factionous strife, as stated in Philippians 1, 16 and 17. To contend properly, the Philippians were not to do anything out of factious strife or conceit. So there were elements of leadership that was rising up saying to the people that you need to follow my teachings rather than Paul's. And they weren't really there to really bless the people or bring them into a better understanding of who their Lord Jesus Christ was, but they just wanted to have followers. They wanted to have the glorious recognition of being the leader. So he says avoid that, and that's that vainglory as well. But in lowliness of mind, which means you approach it humbly, without any kind of conceit, each esteem other better than themselves. We look out for the needs of others before we look out the needs of ourselves. Even if it cost us something, to be able to meet the needs of others. Because we don't lose anything when we do that. Because what is the promise of God? When we give, he blesses us back. When we take care of God's people, he blesses us back. Now we see that many times in monetarily when we share of our abundance, and then that abundance blesses the believers in various forms. But there's so many other ways that you personally interact with believers that does that as well. Your personal interaction of taking care of the family. We don't contribute to the ministry or the work of the ministry so that we can have professionals do it. That isn't the idea of a family. The family is that we involve ourselves. We are actively involved in people's lives, one-on-one. And it may not be that you are involved with hundreds, but be involved with at least one, with at least one person. There used to be an old saying in the way ministry, each one win one. Do you realize how quickly the ministry grew with just that one encouragement? So after we win one, what do? Take a vacation? No, we win one more. But we can certainly do it one at a time by taking care of their needs before we do ourselves. And verse 4 enforces that. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You will never notice the needs in other people's lives until you start looking for it. Until you actively look for it, will you start to see the needs in other people's lives. Verse 5. And this is how we see how we become like-minded. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So as we have that mind of Christ, then we become like-minded with each other. It's like when people get married and each one is a believer. And as they grow in their fellowship with God, they grow closer together. They become more like-minded. So, verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Now, that particular verse has caused a lot of misunderstanding in the church. But I believe a better and clearer understanding will be had when we understand what he's really referring to. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger man of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all things and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had come to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. At the time of the Bible, the son was considered equal to the father in that he was receiving an inheritance from his father. That was the equality that was recognized of a father and son relationship, as being contrasted here to a master servant, because there was no inherent inherency to the servant. He was being hired on a daily or hourly basis. So, or a slave who was owned outright. So, in that context that we see there, it is really making the distinction between a son and a servant, not a master and a servant. Do you see that? The son and the servant and the master and the servant. And so Jesus Christ, as being the son of God, listed so many times in the Bible. That is the relationship that he shared with God as his, at this point, only the second person to be referred to as a son. Who, remember who the first person was who was called the Son of God? And that was Adam. And you can see in Romans that Jesus Christ and Adam were referred to as the first and the last man. Okay? They were the sons because they were created by God directly. All the rest of us were a part of mommy and daddy getting together. But those two were the only ones who were actually created by God.
Wow.
So here we have the reference of the Father and the Son. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So, even though he was the Son of God and was royalty in the most basic sense, he never lived that way. He never required people to look at him that way. He was always a servant to the people. He was a servant to God. He acted as a servant to God by always obeying him as a servant would. And also he was a servant to the people of Israel. That's who his ministry was to. Not to the world at this point. Everybody outside of Israel, that was another time that those people are going to be blessed. But at this point in his life, he was a minister to Israel. Every once in a while, a Gentile would get blessed by it. But that was not the purpose of his ministry. So he acted as the servant, even though he was the son. Remember in the forgiving father or the prodigal son analogy, he was ready to go back to his father, and because of his greed or his foolishness, he would say, I will now be a servant to you. And if you read on, he never got to say that. Even though he had rehearsed that ahead of time of what he was going to say to the father, when he started to say the words to his father, the father cut him off before he could say, I'll be a servant. So that's what is being referred to here. And I'll read what is in this working translation as a footnote on 2:6 on equal. Greek, it is the ISOS, and it means equal. In John 5:18, quote, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. Again, that was the tradition at that time, is that the son was equal to the father. In the lands and times of the Bible, a son was considered equal with his father, whereas a servant was not. Although both a son and the servant may have served in the same manner in the family business, a son was a hire, but a servant was not. An allusion to the custom of a son serving in the family business is made in Philippians 2:22. And we'll get to that in a minute. Jesus also made reference to this custom in things that he said in Luke 2:49, 15:11, 32, John 8:26-29, and chapter 10:7-18. So if you understand the context of these two verses, then you understand it has nothing to do with Trinity doctrine. All right. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus Christ knew what the Word of God said, and it knew what it said about the coming Messiah and what he would have to go through. And that sacrifice that would be required of the Messiah in order to redeem all the sins of Israel. The only thing he didn't understand, that it would be also a redemption of all the sins of anyone in the future who would call upon his name, and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he, even the death of the cross. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He understood what was being required of him, but he certainly did not want to go through that agony of death. That's a lot to ask of even the Son of God. But he said, what? Not my will, but thy will be done. That makes me love him even more. Jeez, how can you not love the Lord Jesus Christ? It would be just, if you think about those things. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Similar to what the Father did for the Son that returned, he gave him great honor, he put a coat on him, he new sandals, he gave him a feast. In other words, it was the Father that was glorifying the Son. And that is what God did for Jesus Christ. It was the Father that glorified the Son. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So I'll read that in the Working Translation. So that in the name of Jesus, every knee is to bow, of those things in heaven and of those things on the earth and of those underground or buried. And who would that be? The dead. And that every tongue is to confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When Jesus Christ, being his Son, he could have wished to be worshiped himself because of all of his power and authority. But that is not what Jesus Christ did. He always pointed to the worship of the Father and to having a new kind of relationship with our Heavenly Father. But we wouldn't have any of that except through Jesus Christ. Isn't it great?
Yeah.
The purpose of Jesus Christ being Lord in our life is so that we can glorify God. As natural people, or people who do not understand this, any other way of trying to glorify God is going to be through the five senses. That's exactly what the Old Testament was all about. You can only glorify God through doing things, through the five senses. What is one of the greatest ways that we can glorify God today?
Speaking in tongues.
Walk by the Spirit. Speaking in tongues is one of the great things that we can do at any time, at any place. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Somebody once said that the true nature of the character of a person is what they do when nobody else is watching. And I'm sure that they were very, very good at being like-minded and not having a bunch of problems because of pride and things like that when Paul was there. But the thing was, now that his absence, continue doing that. have that same character that you showed before. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And this salvation, according to the working translation, is deliverance. I'll read the full verse in that translation. Wherefore, my beloved ones, even as you have always obeyed God, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation or deliverance with fear and trembling, reverence and obedience. Why are we given the Word of God? Well, Jesus Christ said that he came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Well, if we're going to have a more abundant life, we have to participate. And we participate by obedience to the Word, to the words of Jesus Christ, and making him Lord by doing that, to the directions of God and the Holy Spirit. That's how we are delivered from this evil and corrupt world, and by putting on the mind of Christ. That is all things that we do ourselves. So many times the Christian wants to be in a situation and have God just bail them out without any kind of participation themselves. Let's go with the 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How are we being delivered? Because God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In you. In you. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, one of the great things that will tear down that working of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ and all the other things that just went before in this chapter is murmurings and disputings or grumblings. Grumblings. What do people like to grumble about? Well, think about the things that you've heard in the past, especially concerning other believers. Probably got a long list of grumblings. A lot of it is attacks on their personal character. And generally speaking, when you hear attacks on people's personal character, they've run out of good reasons to be mad. Verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. That ye may be blameless and harmless. I'll read the working translation. So that ye may be blameless and pure. Pure. Now that word pure means unmixed. Unmixed. If you have a glass of water, how much dye does it take to change the color of the water? Less than a drop, and you have a change in the color. And you'll never be able to separate that dye out of the water again, unless there's some kind of filter I don't know about. But the point is that it gets introduced, and it becomes fully involved, fully engaged with whatever medium it just went into. So if we're going to do that, we need to have that murmurings and disputings eliminated. That, in order that, to be blameless and pure, the sons of God. I'll read on. That you may be blameless and pure or unmixed children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom ye shine as stars or illuminaries in the world. Luminaries. What a great word. All right, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life. See, all these things are so that we can hold forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So Paul went there and started a great work. And he wanted to see that work grow and prosper. And he's telling them these things to be like-minded, to be humble toward each other and the needs of others, so that they can be without blemish, that they can have all these things working to the good of the church and the believers. And he's saying, do all these things so that everything that I came and did to begin with is not in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And Working Translation says, however, if I am also poured out, that's that sacrifice, that offering, that pouring out on the sacrifice and service for your believing. Paul gave up a lot of things he could have had in the world. And all those things was for them. His life was a sacrifice, a pouring out offering is how he's trying to describe it. None of this was for him, but all of his life was for them. And he says, I joy and rejoice with you all. Everything that he was giving of his life was a joy to him. And he didn't see it as losing anything. Even though he had given up anything, he didn't lose anything. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So everything that was given to you was for your benefit. So it ends here. It says, likewise, do ye also rejoice and you rejoice together with me. Verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for your state. There were a lot of great servants that was working with Paul. But of anybody of that group, he trusted Timothy the most to do exactly for them as Paul would do. And naturally caring for their state. In other words, it was something he would just do because that's who Timothy was, not something Timothy had to put on or do because that is his image of what Paul would do. Is exactly what Timothy would do because that's who Timothy was. Then it says in verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. For all seek their own. What a warning. What a warning for us. That it so easily is able to, for people to fall into that. To where they are looking out for their own life, their own needs before the needs of the believers. Timothy was not like that. But you know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. And that is the reference again back to being equal. He was a son. He considered him a son of his in the family, in the spirit, and he shared equally in the work of the family business, which in this case was the gospel. Verse 23, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. In other words, he wanted to go, but he's going to send Timothy regardless. But I trust in the Lord also, trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I purpose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Epaphroditus was sent by the Philippians to help Paul in the ministry. But now Paul is saying, I'm sending him back. Isn't that cool? For your benefit. Verse 26, for he longed after you and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that you had heard that he had been sick. Do believers get sick? Yeah, sometimes. But he got well too. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow.
Wow.
So he's giving credit to God, and he's also saying,
Thank God,
because I would have just been so heavy with grief. I sent him therefore to be more careful that when you see him again, he may rejoice and that I may be the less sorrowful. So he knew it blessed them to have Epaphroditus back in the fellowship in Philippi. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. In other words, he wasn't being sent back because of anything that he did wrong, but because he was being needed back there. So that's how you need to receive him. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Now that wasn't a criticism to the folks of Philippi, but that they couldn't be there with him. So they sent Epaphroditus there to be of service in their stead. So they, you know, the whole city couldn't come, but they sent somebody to be of service in the work of the ministry with Paul. Pretty nice. I love this chapter. Okay.